we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Hope you're having an awesome day and enjoying the life that God has set before you today. Seize the day. Make the most out of it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that today you have a smile on your face and that the joy of the Lord is living in your heart. This is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. So we are going to be in Hebrews chapter 13 one more time today, and then we'll move on to a new passage tomorrow. We're talking about remembering things that God wants us to remember. And today we just ask that you would hold us up in prayer. We're praying that 2016 will have a few things. Our mission statement is restoring value spiritually and relationally. So we want to see people get saved this year. We also have a goal that we would like to see every man and woman and boy and girl throughout this year become more like Jesus in this year than ever before. We don't want to have any setbacks or anything like that in our spiritual growth. We want to become more like Jesus in the way that we schedule our priorities, the way that we think, the way that we speak, the way that we conduct ourselves. And so we pray that for you as well. So thank you for tuning in today, and I pray that this broadcast will be a blessing to your heart. So in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 10, it says, "We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner." So, in verse number 14, the writer of Hebrews tells us that here we have no continuing city, that there everything that you see around you here is going to have an end. It doesn't matter if the person that you see is driving a brand new car or if they're driving a clunker. They're almost invariably, with very rare exception, those cars are going to end up in the junkyard. They're going to end up in the compressor. They're going to be repurposed and re-engineered. The materials will find their way into something else. It's not going to continue. And so you and I, we need to realize that here, the things that people seek after do not have any continuation. It's not going to cross over into eternity. But we are seek the one to come. In other words, there is a city, there is a place, there is a dwelling with God that we can look forward to spending an eternity with. And so that's what we need to make our priority. We need to run after things that have eternal value. We need to make sure that we are pursuing those things. And so we want to pursue. And it says, therefore, by him, that is Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And so every Sunday night service and every Wednesday service, I offer up at the very beginning of the service, who has a praise report, who has something that they are thankful for. And we have prayer cards that we just have available on Sunday morning. And as a result of that, there's a line on there. What do you have praise reports? And so we make available for people to pass along to us the tremendous things that God has done in their lives. And so this last Sunday, one of our ladies was testifying about a breakthrough that she had had in her personal life, and another lady was testifying that a relative that they had been praying for quite some time to get a job, that person had finally got a job. Thank God that he answers prayer. You and I, we need to allow God and the Spirit of God to birth in us the sacrifice of praise to God. And so we need to make sure, and it goes on to describe that what this means is that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Every person that I know in the history of my life has had the ability and an ability that they availed themselves of with a great deal of frequency to complain. And I will tell you that when I catch myself complaining, I would like to take my own self to the woodshed. I do not want my mouth to be an ungrateful mouth. I want it to be one that is offering the sacrifice of praise. And that means that I can praise God even when it is not necessarily the easiest thing to do. That's one of the definitions of sacrifice, is that it is not easy. It costs you something. Here's what Job chapter 10 says. In verse number 1, my soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. Does it seem good to you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands and smile on the counsel of the wicked? So look at what it says in verse number 1. The reason that Job gave free course or free rein to his complaint was because he had reached the point where he hated his life. He said, my soul loathes my life. And what you've got to understand is Job was known for his relationship with God. And what he was actually declaring at this point in time is, God, I hate this life that you have given to me, all of this pain and heartache and sorrow. I hate all of this. I could do a better job of leading my own life. I could do a better job leading my life than you could. And it had reached the impact of his soul where his soul was impacted by bitterness. And I want you to know that bitterness is not something to be toyed with or taken lightly. Bitterness disqualified Simon the sorcerer from ministry. Bitterness will produce bitter fruit. You don't want bitter fruit in your life. And so I encourage you, do not allow the events of life to make you bitter. The circumstances or the seasons of life, the pain that you are going through. And I certainly encourage you, do not get to the place where you say, God, I absolutely hate this life that you've given to me. We have had a lot of missionaries that have come through the years. And one of the things that has happened is whenever the missionaries come through, They are just so excited and so eager to get to the place where God has called them. And these are going to be some difficult places. They have to leave their moms and their dads, their grandmas, their grandpas behind. Their kids will be fully engaged in the ministry, or many times they will be, at school. When they reach the mission field, there will be different cultures. They will not be able to eat at their favorite restaurants around here. There's a great deal of sacrifices. Many times they have to sell all of their possessions that they have here just to be able to afford to get to the field and do the ministry. And every one of them that we've had, with rare exception, is saying, would you help us to get to the field? So we are a very missions minded church. We are not a large church. We are not a large church numerically, but I do believe that we are a large church when it comes to impact. I do believe that we are a large church when it comes to, making people available, making the gospel of Jesus Christ available to people all across the globe. I do believe that we are a large church when it comes to giving thanks to God. And so we are very, very excited about that. We want to be known as a church that praises more than it complains. Okay. And so yesterday on that broadcast, I gave you one little simple step. And, today I want to offer you one more simple step, and that is, would you make an intentional effort to start each day with a phrase that goes like this: God, today I thank you for, and then put in your own personal customized thanksgiving to God, your own sacrifice of praise. You see, it doesn't need to be something that I put into your head. It needs to become something that you develop into a daily thing, where daily you are overtaken by the blessings of God, that daily his tender mercies are brand new and fresh for you. And so I pray today on this Thursday that you would be a thankful person. Thankful for the families that you have given, or that God has given to you. Thank him for health in your body. Thank him for the times that your body has been under attack and he's healed you and he's set you free. Thank God for the things that he has done on your behalf. Those are some very simple things. You can find something to thank God for. You can find something to thank God for. And if you are struggling with that, send me an email saying, I cannot find anything in my life to thank God for. If you're struggling, send me some things, and then I'll send you some questions back. Please don't, because my goal in that would be to assist you in finding the blessings of God. There's a hymn that we sing in our vintage service: count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I am the type of person who looks for a reason to praise God, looks for a reason to praise God. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So not only are we called to bring a sacrifice of praise, but we are also encouraged to not forget. And so therein lies the connection with remembering, to remember to do good. Remember to do good. And, on Sunday night, I was sharing with our congregation, how do we know that we look more like Jesus now than we did? And it should be in our desire for prayer and the study of God's word. And it would be in the looking for what God is doing in our community, what he is doing, and saying, God, I want to do what you are doing. And so do not forget to do good. Do not forget to do good. Do the right thing, even if no one else is doing the right thing. Do the good thing, which is actually the God thing, even if no one else is doing the God thing. Through the years, God has given us a number of creative things to do at Merit Assembly of God, of ways to be a blessing to the community. And then what we would notice is somebody else would start doing, and they would be able to do it better than we would. And our thing at that point in time was not to moan and groan and complain and say, oh no, look, they're taking this thing that we started doing. No, we said, you know what? If they are able to bless this community in that manner and do it with excellence to the glory of God, we will look for another opportunity to do good. You see, there are no shortage of sinners in Brevard County. And what I mean by that is there's plenty of people that Jesus died to save that are not connected with any local church, that they have a wide array of different social and relational and financial and physical and spiritual needs. There's a wide array. And so let's not limit God and say, remember, he is God the Creator. He is God the Creator. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. God is able to equip you and give you insight into new and creative ways to reach people. I pray that you would be a person of innovative ministry here in Brevard County. I pray that our church will be a church of innovative ministry. Say, God, what is there's got to be something that I can do that is going to bring glory to your name. And so, but it says also, don't forget to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I like to share stories of personal growth that I've had in my life so that you don't have to learn the lessons the hard way. You see, at one point in time, I had a mindset. This is when I was in Bible school, and the mindset went like this: God, I'm not asking you for much. I'm just asking you for enough to meet my needs. And so I went to chapel. I was attending Oral Roberts University at that particular time, and there was a guest speaker that was there that day, and he said, there are a lot of people who will pray prayers like this: God, I'm not asking you for much. I'm just asking for enough to meet my needs. And it's like, that guy's talking about my prayer. That's the exact wording that I used in my prayer. And all of a sudden he said this: what a selfish prayer. What a selfish prayer. And it's like all of a sudden I went from feeling good about myself to realizing that I was about to be corrected here. And he said, God has not called you just to have your needs met. He has called you to be part of the equipping of the work of the ministry. You are called to not only have your needs met, but to be a giver as well. And that is what the concept of sharing is about. You do good to others and you share and you meet the needs. You work hard with your hands so that you will be able to give. And so I tell you, it is a level of maturity. It is a gauge. And as long as we are constantly just in the receiving mode and we are never in the giving mode, we are going to remain in an infantile or adolescent or toddler stage of development. It is where you and I begin to learn that there is greater joy in giving than there is in receiving. That's where the real spiritual breakthrough. My wife loves to give. She absolutely loves to give. We had a yard sale one time and got up early of a morning and worked real hard and set our stuff out and all of that. This goes back a long time. And at the end of the day, I think we had like $12 and, you know, 50 cents or something like that we had made. And it was like, you know what? the return. Remember yesterday we were talking, consider the end of the matter, you know, consider the end of the matter. Look at what the end result was. And we looked at that and said, you know what? That was an awful lot of work for $12 and some change. And so we decided to take up a different mindset. And that was, you know, that if something had no value to it anymore, that we'd haul it off to the dump. We wouldn't hoard it, or, you know, I've still got too much stuff, but I need to go through it again and get rid of some stuff. But if it's worthless, we need to throw it away. If it is of little value, we need to throw it away. But if there is something that is of value, rather than trying to sell it, we have adopted to be of this mindset. We want to be a blessing. We want to give it away to somebody that it could be a blessing to. And so we have found that there is a great deal more spiritual profit in that, in giving, than receiving. And you know what? I have found this to be true, that God's nature, God is a giver by nature. And whenever we adopt that, we are becoming more like God and say, God, I want to be like you. I want to be a giver. And the reality is, you will never be able to outgive God. When you start that process of giving, whenever you begin sowing to the Spirit, you are going to start reaping from the Spirit, which means that you are going to be able to give more. And it is just a snowball effect. I am so thankful for the breakthrough that God has, for God is well pleased. Remember, we are doing things that that are not for others' benefit necessarily. They're not even for our benefit, but because it pleases God. A friend of mine he and I have talked about a book that he had come across, that it was called Toxic Ministry or something like that. I'm not real sure on the title, but where people do things, but it actually doesn't, it actually entraps people instead of empowers people. And it becomes about making us feel good for the act that we're doing, instead of the fact that we are making kingdom impact. And so remember, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. It goes on in verse number 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Remember, God wants your life to be a life of increase. And so he says that one of the ways for that to enhance your balance sheet, your spiritual balance sheet, is to live a life of obedience. And that is, follow the word of God. And he says, and be submissive to those who rule over you. And we've done a study on submission. I'll just remind you about what that is. Submission literally means, according to the English language breakdown, to live life under mission, under mission. And so the other day, one of the men of the church, he was actually working on something that enhances our kids ministry. He was hanging a basketball goal, and he needed my help. And so I went out. You know what? He's the engineer. And so I'm there to do, at that point in time, what he needed done, because we were working together as a team under the mission that God had for us at that point in time. This last Sunday, there were kids that were playing out there, kids from our church, and all of a sudden, there was a young man that they pulled up in a vehicle and said, "Would you mind if our son, you know, played basketball here with these kids for just a little bit?" Said, no, that's what they're there for. So it was a task that I said, you know what, I will come and I will support you in that role. And so we live under mission. We live under mission to please God. And it is not about, you know, a power struggle. It is not about control, because that man that I was helping, he has helped me on exponential number of projects. He is a man who truly lives his life under mission to God and wants to be a blessing to the body of Christ and to the community. So he says that in doing so, obeying those who rule over you and be submissive, it says that those people who are superiors to you, and I thank God I have people that I am answerable to and accountable to. He says, obey them, for you want them to be able to watch over your souls with joy and not with grief. I remember it was one of the men in our church. He was teaching a Sunday school class or a Wednesday night class, and he's the first one that I remember ever mentioning this verse, and he says, I want to live my life in such a way that I make Pastor Bob's job a joy and not a burden, because I want him watching over my soul, and it's something that is enjoyable for him to do and not laborious, that when I think about him, that I think about the goodness and the greatness of God, and I think about the tremendous reward that he is going to have. Your pastor may not preach this particular thing. A lot of times we don't want to come across as self-serving. So allow me to be a blessing to your pastor today by mentioning this passage to you, so that you can live your life in a manner that is going to make his job of watching over your soul a whole lot easier. I want to live my life. I want to do ministry. I want to be the husband at home that I'm supposed to be, in such a manner that when my presbyter and when my district officials, when they think of me, they think of me with a smile on their face, because they know that I am living my life in obedience. And last of all, remember, pray. Pray for those in the body of Christ who are out there proclaiming the gospel. This person says, the writer here of Hebrews, pray. We urge you to do this, that we may be restored to you the sooner. If you read that passage, verse 18 and 19, prayer has the ability to change the circumstances. And so pray for your pastor, pray for your Sunday school teachers, pray for those people who are out there knocking on doors and sharing the goodness of Jesus Christ. Pray, because when you start praying for them and praying for effective open doors of ministry, you are going to see that distanced relationships are going to be restored a lot sooner. God answers prayer. We need to be a praying people. My challenge from last weekend is this. If the prayers of John Knox caused Mary, the Queen of Scotland, to be more impacted than the threats of all the armies of Europe, how much more should we be people of prayer now and influence the government in the day and time that we're living? Let's be a people who pray. We'll see you here the next time, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.